Good morning, everybody. Yesterday was Parshas Bo, and we read the Parsha of Yesterday was Shabbos Parshas Bo, and we read the Parsha about HaChodesh HaZalochem, that HaKodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe and Aaron that the month of Nisan should be the first month of the Jewish year. And according to the tradition of the Gemara, whenever the word Zeh, whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking, and Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking, and he says Zeh, it means that he showed him something, he demonstrated. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the simple meaning of the Pasuk is that this month of Nisan is the first month of the year. We call it in the Chodesh, it's called HaKadosh HaRishon, and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur fall out in the Chodesh HaShvi, we call it Tishrei, but in the Chumash it's called HaKadosh HaShvi. But according to the Gemara's additional level of interpretation, Hazeh means HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrated to Moshe and Aharon the new moon, and he said, HaKadosh Hazeh, when you see the new moon in this size, then you should declare it as Rosh Chodesh. And he told him the mitzvah of Kviyas HaLuach. The Rambam, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam wrote a listing of what in his opinion constitute the 613 mitzvahs, which are the 248 mitzvahs Hasei, which are the 365 mitzvahs Lois Hasei. So in the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Mitzvahs Hasei, Kuf Nun Gimel, number 153, he counts this as one mitzvah, Kviyas HaLuach. What do you mean one mitzvah? The Beis Din has to decide any given month whether it should end off with 29 days or 30 days. Should they make Rosh Chodesh on the 30th day or on the 31st day? And then they have to decide whether any given year should have 12 months or 13 months. So the Rambam's opinion is that this is one big mitzvah, Kviyas HaLuach, to determine when Rosh Chodesh should be, to determine which year should be Hashanah Meuberes, like a woman who's pregnant. So the year is pregnant, has an extra month, has 13 months. So that's up to the Beis Din HaGadol, that's how the Rambam writes this mitzvah. The Rambam didn't invent it, he got it from a Mechilta, from the Tanoim, that the Beis Din HaGadol is supposed to make these decisions. The Rambam was not the first who wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs. One of the very famous Sfarim that was written during the period of the Gaonim, we're not sure exactly who wrote it, is the Sefer Halochas Gedolos. In the Yeshivas they call the Sefer Bahag. The Rosh HaTev is a Baal Halochas Gedolos. We're not sure exactly who wrote it, the different versions of the Bahag also. Different manuscripts with a lot of differences between them. So the Bahag, the Sefer Halochas Gedolos, counts these as two distinct mitzvahs. One mitzvah is that Bezin should establish when Rosh Chodesh is, whether the month should end after 29 days and Rosh Chodesh should be the 30th day, or the month should end after 30 days and Rosh Chodesh should be the 31st day. And then a separate mitzvah to the Bezin should decide which year should be Hashanah Meuberes and which year should be Hashanah Pshuta. It's not that much of a difference, but it's one mitzvah, two mitzvahs. The Rambam's opinion is that it's one big mitzvah. The Gemara tells us that preferable is that the Beis Din should decide when Rosh Chodesh is based. There's Kiddush HaChodesh al-Pi HaRiya and Kiddush HaChodesh al-Pi HaChesbon. Kiddush HaChodesh al-Pi HaRiya means that it's preferable that witnesses should come to the Beis Din and testify, we just saw the new moon, and the Beis Din will declare today is Rosh Chodesh. That's preferable. Second best, what if it's raining the whole time and nobody can see the moon, so you can't make Rosh Chodesh? So it's not going to be, you're not going to have any Rosh Chodesh, going to go a whole month without a Rosh Chodesh. So the Beis Din can declare it as Rosh Chodesh without witnesses. That's called Kiddush HaChodesh al-Pi HaChesbon. They calculate when the new moon should have appeared. Not so complicated to figure out. We know how long the time is between the Moilad of one month and the Moilad of the next month. So the Beis Din calculates when the new moon should have appeared, and even if no witnesses come forward to testify that they saw the new month, the new moon, the Beis Din should still has the right to declare that today is Rosh Chodesh. That's Kiddush HaChodesh al-Pi HaChesbon. If witnesses come and testify that I robbed a bank and they're telling a lie, they testify that I murdered someone or that I was Obed Abed Azor, then they're in violation of an Avera, San Bireach or Eid Shoker. What if witnesses come and they testify falsely that they saw the new moon? So there's no Reach. So what Avera are they doing? They're telling a lie. It's not a nice thing. So the Gemara says, a very interesting Gemara. You've got to think about this one. The Gemara says, since it's preferable to have Kiddush HaChodesh al-Pi HaRiya, it's preferable that witnesses should come and testify that they saw the new moon, and Beis Din should declare as Rosh Chodesh. Sometimes, if it's cloudy outside, if it's raining, Nobody, Bezdin knows nobody will see the new moon. So Bezdin will ask two people to come and testify falsely that they saw the new moon. They know the whole thing is a fraud, in order to have the formality of having Kiddush HaChodesh al pi Hariyah. Because no one's violating any Avera of Lasana Berecha. They're not testifying against the human being. They're not ba'avling the moon. They're not ba'avling. They're not cheating anybody. It's just that it's Sheker. So the Gemara says it's better, we'll have to explain it a little more, it's better to have witnesses, and sometimes they would bribe people, they would pay people money, say, please come and testify that they saw, that you saw the Numa, because we want to make today Rosh Chodesh. So that's the two types of Kiddush HaChodesh. The Bezin declares it as Rosh Chodesh because witnesses came and they testified, and that's preferable, or the Bezin will declare without any witnesses, Kiddush HaChodesh al pi HaChesmen. The Rambam quotes from the Gemara, till the days of Abaye Berava. Abaye Berava were in the middle of the period of the Amoraim. Abaye Berava lived in Bavel. And Bavel, Abaye Berava didn't have any smicha. You can only get smicha in Eretz Yisrael. The smicha that we have today is all imitation smicha, because the shalsheles ha-smicha, you have to get smicha from someone who got smicha, from someone who got smicha, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. And all the smichas have to be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. The one who's giving the smicha has to be in Eretz Yisrael. The one who's receiving the smicha has to be in Eretz Yisrael. So already 1,500 years ago, the smicha ended. And all of the smicha that we have today is only imitation smicha. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, he was the one who edited the Mishnayos. He didn't write the Mishnayos. He edited the Mishnayos. But even after he edited the Mishnayos, it was still being recited bal peh. They didn't write down the Mishnayos till the days of Ravina Ravashi. That was the end of the period of the Amoraim. Ravina Ravashi edited the Talmud Bavli, but it was also being recited bal peh. The Talmud Bavli wasn't written down until centuries later, in the middle of the period of the Gaonim. So the Gemara tells us that till the day... Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi made a takana that no one should pass in any shilas unless they have heter harua, unless they have permission from the Rebbe to pass. So that's what we call today smicha. In Yiddish, in Europe, they used to call, they didn't call it smicha, they called it heter harua, you have permission from your Rebbe to pass. So today nobody has any smicha. Even the people in Eretz don't have smicha, because there was nobody alive who got smicha from someone who got smicha in Eretz Yisrael to be able to continue. So in Shulchan Aruch, Abarbanel is one of the commentaries on the Tanakh, so the Abarbanel is only quoted once in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah quotes the Abarbanel that the smicha today is only imitation smicha. You didn't have to quote Abarbanel, any student in the yeshiva knows that without Abarbanel, but that's the Ramah quoted Abarbanel, that the smicha today is only imitation smicha. So Abai Barabba lived in Bavel. They couldn't fly back and forth to Eretz Yisrael like we do today. Every month in Donishtek, people go to Eretz Yisrael. In the days of the Amoraim, those who lived in Bavel stayed in Bavel, so they never had any smicha. There were, in the days of the Amoraim, there were some people who traveled back and forth, but most of the people couldn't travel. So Abaye Berava didn't have any smicha. And during their lifetime, there were still people, there were still Rabbonim in Eretz Yisrael who had bona fide smicha. So the Gemara tells us, till the days of Abaye Berava, they were still practicing Kiddush HaChodesh al pi Hariyah. The Bezdin in Eretz Yisrael, who did have smicha, bona fide smicha, used to declare when Rosh Chodesh, which day is going to be Rosh Chodesh, they would decide at the end of the month whether today is going to be Rosh Chodesh or tomorrow is going to be Rosh Chodesh. And they would still be deciding, and then they have to send a message to Chutz Lartz that the people should know when they declared it as Rosh Chodesh. And then the system of the calendar that we have today, we know 1,000 years in advance when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. We don't have to wait till Rosh Chodesh comes. Because the Luach Kavua, the calendar that we have today, was set up by the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael during the lifetime of Abaye Berava. So the Ramban has a running commentary on the Rambam, Sefer HaMitzvah. He said, how can the Rambam say that you need a Bezdin HaGadol? As I said, the Rambam didn't invent it. He quoted it from an earlier source, from the Mechilta, from the Tanoim, that the Kviyas HaLuach has to be done by the Bezdin HaGadol, by the Sanhedrin. So how can he say, the Ramban asked on the Ram, how can he claim that he need Bezdin HaGadol, Sanhedrin, to declare Kviyas HaLuach? The Gemara tells us the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the year 70, and the Gemara says 40 years before the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Bezdin HaGadol left the Lishkas HaGozes. The office used to be in the Beis HaMikdash. And they saw 40 years before the Churban HaBayis, there were Jewish murderers running around, gangsters, and they weren't able to control anything. So they said, we have no right to sit here in the Bez Nagodal office if we're not able to control anything. So they resigned. So they closed shop, they closed up shop. There was no Bez Nagodal. So how can the Rambam say that, the Rambam quotes the Gemara, till the days of Abai Verovah, their counterparts in Eretz Yisrael would still be Mekadosh HaChodesh Al Pi HaRiyah. But if the Rambam says you really need Bez Nagodal, there was no Bez Nagodal centuries already. 40 years before the year 70, there was no Bez Nagodal. So how could it be till the days of Abai Verovah that they still did Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi HaRiyah? So the Ramban thinks that he proved from the fact that they still had Kviyas HaLuach till the days of Abai Verovah that the Bez Nagodal is not Miyakev L'chatchila. It's a psak that's nageh to all of Klal Yisrael. You've got to decide when is Rosh Chodesh. It's nageh. When did the children become bar mitzvah? It's nageh to a lot of things. When is Rosh Chodesh? Which year is going to be Shana Mubaris? If it's going to be Hashana Pshuta, but the Pesach is going to be now or next month. Are you going to have Adar Sheni? You're not going to have Adar Sheni. So it's a psak that's nageh to all of Klal Yisrael. So the correct thing is you should have a Bez Nagodal. You shouldn't have just three rabbis who have smicha going to decide. Kol HaKodim Zachar, whoever decides first. That today should be Rosh Chodesh, that they're going to win. It doesn't make sense. So Ramban says, yeah, l'chatchila, you should have Bez Nagodal decide the Luach because it's a psak that's negev to all of Klal Yisrael. It's not right for any local Bezin to decide. But after the Bez Nagodal ceased to exist, so the din doesn't really require Bez Nagodal. Any Bezin of three bona fide mismachim can declare when Rosh Chodesh should be, can declare which year should be Hashanah Mubaris. You don't really need the Bez Nagodal Ikuv. This is the Taina of the Ramban against the Rambam. The Rambam apparently thinks not so. The Rambam thinks you need Bez Nagodal. And that halacha, that if the Bez Nagodal leaves the Lishkas Hagazis, they're no longer in their office in the Beis Hamikdosh, they can't function as Bez Nagodal, doesn't mean for all dinim. They still have... Till the days of Abai Verovah, the Rambam thinks historically, there was a group of 71 Musmochim who were floating around from place to place in Eretz Yisrael. They were under the persecution of the Romans a lot. So the Gemara says, Esegolius Golsa Sanhedrin. When they left the Lishkas Hagazas, when they left their office in the Beis HaMikdash, 40 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, so they went from location to location to location. The Gemara has an interesting parallel. Just like when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so the Shechina left the Kodesh HaKadosh in 10 stages, went from one place to the other, to the other, to the other. Esed Golias Golso Shechina. The Gemara documents it based on Psukim from Nevi'im Uksuvim. So parallel to that, when the second Beis HaMikdash was about to be destroyed, Esed Golias Golso Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin went to Golos 10 times. First they left the Lishkas Hagazas, they went to Yerushalayim. Then they went to Yavne, then they went to Usha, then they went to Shvarim, then they went to Tzipori, then they went to Tveria, different places, until finally the whole institution of Bez Nagodal conked out. And then the Gemara says, and the Rambam quotes all of this, the Gemara says, we have a tradition, every day the Bez Nagodal would meet, most of the day, and then they would go home, then they would come back to meet tomorrow morning, then they would go home and eat supper with their wife, then they'd come back next morning. So the last time the Bez Nagodal met, was over 1,500 years ago. So wherever the last location was that they meant, it's somewhere in the Galil, Lasi Lavai, maybe today, tomorrow, when the Bez Nagodal will reconvene, they'll reconvene in the same location where they met last, as if it's a Hemshech. There's nobody alive from 1,500 years ago, but it's considered a Hemshech. It's considered a continuation of the institution of the Bez Nagodal. So you don't need the same people. So the Rambam quotes that. We have a tradition that wherever the last location was, somewhere in the Galil, wherever the last location was where the Bez Nagodal met, that's where they will meet again. Several years ago, you may have read in the newspaper, several years ago, a group of 71 rabbis gathered together in Tveria, I think, and they established a Bez Nagodal. Nobody has real smicha, so it's an imitation Bez Nagodal. But the reason why they met in Tveria, because that's where the Bez Nagodal was supposed to be reconvening, somewhere in the Galil. That's why during the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo, that's why all of the Nebukubalim were moving, they all, rather than live in Yerushalayim, the Gemara says in the end of Ksuvah, there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. It's a bigger mitzvah to live in Yerushalayim and to live in the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So all of the Nebukubalim moved to the Galil. Why didn't they move to Yerushalayim? Because they were hoping They thought that after the Gerish Svarad, after 1492, they would chase out of Spain, and then 1497, they would chase out of Portugal. So they're hoping, they thought Mashiach is going to come. And Mashiach is going to come, Eliyahu HaNavi is going to appear, that's how the Gemara says, based on Psukim. Eliyahu HaNavi will come and appear to the Bezna HaGadol, wherever they will be located, and he will notify them that tomorrow Mashiach will appear. He's going to identify Mashiach. And the Bezna HaGadol, our tradition has it, is going to meet in the same location where they met last 1500 years ago. So they thought that that's going to be somewhere in the Galil. That was the tradition. Okay, so the Rambam apparently is of the opinion, when the Gemara tells us when the Bezna HaGadol is no longer in their official location in the Beis HaMikdash and the Lishkas HaGosis, in that room, in that office, they don't have all the dinim of Bezna HaGadol, but some of the dinim they still have. So the Rambam apparently thinks, historically, there was a body that consisted of 71 Talmidei Chachamim, the most prominent Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, till the days of Abai Barava. Abai Barava lived in Bavel, so they didn't have any smicha, they weren't there. But their counterparts in Eretz Yisrael always put together a bezin of 71 Rabbanim, and they were still in charge of the Kiddush HaChodesh and the Ibra Hashanah, the Kfiyas HaLuach, for years and years, till the days of Abai Barava. The question is, how do we have Rosh Chodesh today? We don't have any bezin anywhere. No bezin HaGadol. We don't have any smuchim at all. Nobody has any smicha. So how do you have Rosh Chodesh? What are you going to think that all the Yamim Tovim are only Midei Rabbanan? Shabbos rolls on by itself. Every seventh day is Shabbos. Okay. But the Rosh Chodeshim don't roll on by themselves. So how do you have a Rosh Chodesh? How do you decide which year is a Shana Muber, Shana Pshuta? There's no bezin HaGadol at all. So this is a big dispute between the Rambam and the Ramban. There in the Sefer Mitzvahs, what is our calendar based on? We know that at the time of Abai Verava, their counterparts in Eretz Yisrael established the Luach. What is that all about? So the Ramban is of the opinion. Ramban, in disagreement with the Rambam, he doesn't accept what the Rambam says over there. Ramban is of the opinion that if the Bezdin will decide next month, Rosh Chodesh should be whenever. Next month should have 29 days, and Rosh Chodesh should be on the 30th day. Even though they're not supposed to do that, they're supposed to wait till next month and declare today's Rosh Chodesh. They shouldn't declare a year in advance whether yet next year is going to be Shana Mubarak. They should declare at that time. But with the Yeved, if you have a big Shas HaTchak, the Rabbanim saw that the Smicha is going to be discontinued because there's so much persecution. So they set out, they wrote down a whole system, and they said, we are hereby declaring all the Rosh Chodeshim in advance, Ad Bias HaGoel till Moshiach Vetchumen, and they declared which day should be Rosh Chodesh and which year should be Shana Mu'beres, which year should have 13 months, and so on, until Moshiach will come, Ad Bias HaGoel. When Moshiach will come, so then Moshiach will put together a Bezin, and they'll decide when they want. This is the Ramban's opinion. So according to the Ramban, the way we have Rosh Chodeshim now, and the way we have Shana Mu'beres, and the whole Kviyas HaLuach, is the same as it always used to be. The only difference is that because the Chachamim saw during the lifetime of Abai Barava, the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael saw that they won't be able to continue doing it in a proper fashion, to wait till witnesses come and to wait every month to do it at that time. So they declared everything in advance. This is the Ramban's opinion. The Rambam does not agree. The Rambam writes that we have a halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai means a din min ha-Torah that has no source in the Chumash. For example, halacha l'moshe m'sinai, tefillin have to be square. The tefillin have to be black. There's no way to figure out this dinim based on reading in between the lines. We have different midrash, Torah, and Drashas span. How to read in between the lines of the Chumash? Halacha l'moshe m'sinai means a din that there's no way to read in between the lines. We have an oral tradition that this is the din. So the Rambam writes, no, we have halacha l'moshe m'sinai that bizman she'ein Sanhedrin, when there's no bezin who's able to declare when Rosh Chodesh is, and there's no bezin who's able to declare which year should be a Shana Mu'beres. So the halacha says that the Jewish community living in Eretz Yisrael, by their observing Rosh Chodesh, make it into Rosh Chodesh. That's the halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So the Ramban pokes fun of this. He says, I'm a little familiar with Talmud. He said, I never heard of that. How could it be? They kept it as a secret from me. There is no such thing. He never heard of such halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So the commentaries point out that the Rambam, who's quoting this from the Tshuvas HaGaonim, the Gaonim say like that, the Gaonim interpreted that that's what the Gemara says, and the Gemara talks about the Sod HaIbur, they kept it a secret. The Mordechai says, they kept it a secret. And the Rambam makes one, he says, what do they keep it a secret for me? I'm a little familiar with Talmud, I never heard of this yet. So that's what the commentaries say. They kept it a secret. So, halacha l'maisa, we observe, we assume that Rosh Chodesh today is Minat Torah. It's not just Min Derabbanan, either according to the Rambam, because the Bezna of Hillel HaSheni, during the lifetime of Abai Barava, their counterparts in Eretz Yisrael, that was the Bezna Hillel HaSheni, they established the Luach, and they declared all the Rosh Chodeshim and all the Shanim and Mubaris in advance. And according to the Rambam, it's not so. The Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael today, by observing the Yomim Tov and by observing the Rosh Chodeshim, according to the way it's supposed to be, they're the ones that make it into Rosh Chodesh, and they make it into Hashanah Mu'ubaris. The Rambam writes an interesting statement that the Jewish calendar consists of months and years. So the months are lunar months, depends on the new moon appearing, and the years have to be solar years. The lunar calendar, if you're gonna have, you're always going to have 12 months. So the lunar year is 354 days, I think, and the solar year is 365 days. So the solar year is 11 days longer than the lunar year. So if you're just going to have every year is going to have 12 months, so Pesach every year will be 11 days earlier, 11 days earlier. It's going to be floating around. So Pesach will sometimes be in the winter, sometimes in the summer, sometimes in the fall, sometimes in the spring. And the Chumash says Pesach has to be during the spring season, Chodesh Aviv. So that's why the years have to be solar years. So every couple of years we make a Shana Mubaris, we make 13 months. So the Rambam explains like that. We have like a combination. The months have to be lunar months and the years have to be solar years. So the Rambam says, how does he know that the months have to be lunar months? So he says, it's a Pasuk Chumash, Olas Chodesh B'chodsho L'chodshei HaShanah. That's in Parshas Pinchas, when it says you bring the Musafim on Rosh Chodesh every Shabbos and Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh, Chol HaMoed, you bring Musafim additional Korbanos every day, bring a Tomash HaShach, a Tomash El Bein HaBayim, and on the special days that have Kedusha, so in addition to the Tmidim, you bring Musafim as well. So the Pasuk says every month, Odas Chodesh B'chadshoi, every month you have to bring the Musafim on Rosh Chodesh. So where does the Rambam see in that Pasuk that the months have to be lunar months? Very unclear. So Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed out that Rambam obviously is relying on Targum Onkelos, who doesn't translate the Pasuk the way we translate. We would have translated, what does it mean, Ola Shabbos B'Shabbato, the weekly Korban Musaf that you bring every Shabbos, Shabbos B'Shabbato, week in, week out. What does it mean, Ola Chodesh B'Chodesho, the monthly Korban Musaf that you bring on every Rosh Chodesh. So the Targum Onkelos doesn't translate like that. Targum Onkelos says, Ola Chodesh B'Chodesho, the Korban Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, which is brought the Chidusha Shel Levana, B'chadsho, is not the same as Ola Shabbos B'Shabbato, which means the weekly Korban. Ola Chodesh B'chadsho doesn't mean the monthly. Ola Chodesh, the Musafim, every Rosh Chodesh you bring 11 Musafim. 10 are Ola and 1 is Zachatas. So it says you bring the Musafim, 10 of them are Ola, B'chadsho means B'chidusha Shel Levana, where the new moon appears. So if that's how the Targum Onkelos translates it, so it's a dead giveaway. The Pasuk is saying that the months are lunar months, but the year is supposed to be a solar year, that Pesach will always fall out in the springtime. They know, everybody knows the system. It's plain arithmetic. It's not so, you don't have to be a genius to figure out that Pesach always falls out in the springtime. You know, every couple. Yeah. No, the length of the month, the lunar month is 29 and a half days. So you can't make half a day. The first half of the day belongs to Kislev, the second half of the day belongs to Tevis. So the Rambam says the month has to consist of full days, not half days. So you have to decide that day on which the Moilat Halvana, the new moon, appears. Are you going to declare the whole day belongs to Kislev, the whole day belongs to Tevis? So you alternate. Every other month you say the month has 30 days. And every other month you say the month has 29 days. Until it catches up with you and it's no good. So then you have to make Two months in a row that have 30 days, or 2 months in a row that have 29 days. But the system is plain arithmetic. It's not. Yeah. It's not even higher mathematics, just plain arithmetic. It's simple calculation. Remember when I was in high school, I lived in the Bronx, and I used to come to TA. So I used to calculate as I went by the bus. I used to always calculate what the world is going to be. It's plain arithmetic, nothing fancy. The pasuk appears three times in Parshas Emor, Ela Mayari Hashem Ashitikro Osam Mikroi Kodesh. So the word Osam is written in the Chumash missing a vav. And we believe that the Chumash was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, word for word, letter for letter. So that's why the Gemara will learn out many, many drushes from the fact that a word appears in Chumash Molei or Chaser. How come it's written with a vav or with a yud, sometimes written without. So here, the pasuk says three times, Elamei Hashem Shetikru Osam. Normally we would spell Osam Alevav Tav Mem. That's the normal spelling. So all three times is spelled without a vav. So the Tanoim had a tradition that even though the reading is HaShetikru Osam, but it teaches us as if we would have been reading it Atem, HaShetikru Atem. Whatever the Bezin declares, Rosh Chodesh is Chals. Even if they know that they told the witnesses to come and testify falsely that you saw the new moon. So what kind of baloney is that? They're telling a lie? So the din is, even without any witnesses, even if the witnesses say they saw the moon yesterday, and yesterday should be Rosh Chodesh, we have a right to declare, we're not going to declare, for whatever reason, we don't want to make yesterday Rosh Chodesh, we want to make today Rosh Chodesh. So they have the right to do whatever they want, within reason. You can't have a month with less than 29 days or more than 30 days. You can't have a year of less than 12 months or more than 13 months. But within those two choices, 29 or 30 days, and 12 months or 13 months, the Bezin has the right to declare, even if it doesn't correspond to what it should have been, they have the right to declare Rosh Chodesh and Shana Mu'beres. I have a sefer. If they wanted, they can ignore the witnesses. The witnesses come and they say, we saw the moon and we think you should make today Rosh Chodesh. Bezin says, my son is not ready for his bar mitzvah. He needs another day. So that we should fire the Rabbanim, if that's the consideration that they have. Or he wants to get more money in his bank. Every Rosh Chodesh, they give you your interest in the bank. For whatever reason. For whatever reason, they decide not to listen to the Edom. Or they decide they want to make a Shana Mu'beres because his son is not prepared with his bar mitzvah pshetl yet. He needs another month. So that's not right that they should do that. But the din is, even if they declared, this is the only area in halacha where if the Rabbanim give a psak an error, the psak is binding. If a rabbi makes a mistake in the laws of kashrus, ha-shabbos, ha-taras, ha-mishpacha, tzitzis, and tefillin, a mistake is a mistake. So he just reversed the psak. The one and only area of halacha where if the Bezin made a mistake in psak, the psak is binding is kiddush ha-chodesh and ibra ha-shana. Let's say they made a mistake and they decided this should be a shana mu'beres. They thought based on calculation. Then it turns out that it's wrong. So the din is that it's a Shana Mu'beres. So they decided today should be Rosh Chodesh, even though the Moilah didn't occur yet. The moon, the new moon didn't appear yet. So they can't make a month for 15 days, can't make a month of 28 days. But within the range, either 29 or 30 days, either 12 months or 13 months, this is the one area in Halacha that even if the Bezin made a mistake. And the expression the Tanaim use is, Elim Arashem Shetikru Osam, the word Osam is written in the Chumash Chosavav. So we darshan as if it were written atem, atem afilu mutim. Whatever the Bezin paskins, even in error, the psak is binding. We have similar drushes. I have a sefer at home written by a rabbi from Germany before the Second World War. The name never registered by me, so I don't remember the name of the rabbi. He quotes all the passages in the Gemara where the Tanai made drushes based on moli and chaser, whether the word is written with a vav or without a vav. So he quotes some of the famous drushes that the Gemara has on the opening pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim. It says, Kedoshim tihiyu ki kodosh ani Hashem alakechem. The Jewish people are banim lamakim. We have the same DNA as the Rabbanu Shel Olam. The Rabbanu Shel Olam instructed us for halachta bedrachav. We should preserve the tzelem alakim that we have within us. So just like he's kodosh, we should be kedoshim. So the pasuk says, Kedoshim tihiyu. If you look in the Chumash, the word Kedoshim is written without a vav. Ki Kodesh Ani, Hashem Alakechem, there it's written with a vav. So why, how come by Kodesh Baruch is written with a vav and by us written without a vav? So the Tanoim have a comment in the Sifra, not Pasuk. Kedoshim Tihiyu, Yochel Kamoni, maybe God expects us to reach to attain the level of sanctity that he has. Tamalami kikodesh ani kidushasi lemaila mikdushaschem. Kikodesh ani is written molevot, means HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the full kedusha. We only expect it to have partial kedusha. So that's why the word kedoshim to you is written chosavav, incomplete kedusha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a full kedusha. What does that mean? What does it mean? What one would have thought we should be the same level of sanctity to the Baruch Hu? That's another story. Shimshkat has a famous essay on that to explain it. Or during the period of the second day Hamigdosh, they had Keseda, they had disputes with the Tzedukim, those who didn't accept the Torah Sheval Peh. So sometimes the Tzedukim disagreed Lahokel, and sometimes they disagreed Lahachmir. So the Rabbanim said, whatever they say is not accepted because they didn't accept the Torah Sheval Peh. So one of the shtick that the Tzedukim had Bezman Baisheni Lahachmir was that when you have a person who went to a funeral, becomes a Tomei Meis, usually when a person is Tomei, you go to mikveh. Either you go to mikveh the same day, you go to mikveh a week later, whatever, you go to mikveh. If a person goes to a funeral, you can't just go to the mikveh. You have to have a paraduma. You have to burn the shech, the paraduma, burn it. Take the yeshes and mix a speck of the yeshes into a bottle of water, and that's called mei paraduma. Then some, he's a tohar ala tomei. An adam tohar has to sprinkle water from the paraduma water on the person who went to the funeral. On the yom hashlishi, on the yom hashvi, let's say he went to the funeral on Sunday. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Tuesday is the yom hashlishi. And then Yom HaShvi will be Shabbos. Shabbos, you're not supposed to sprinkle paraduma water. Okay, so you have to postpone everything a day. So if he went to the funeral on Sunday, so you're not going to have the first Hazor on Tuesday, you're going to have it on Wednesday. You can have it 20 years later. You have to have at least 3 days later. Then you have to have exactly 4 days between the first Hazor and the second Hazor. And after he sprinkled the paraduma water, then he's able to go to the mikveh to become Tohar. You don't become Tohar with the paraduma water. You have to have Hazor's paraduma to be able to go to the mikveh to become tohar. So the Tzedukim were of the opinion that he's a ha-tohar ala tomei, the one who is being mazeh, the paraduma water on the tomei meis, and the one who went to the funeral, he has to be completely tohar. If he himself was tomei and he went to mikveh but he didn't yet have hayrav shemesh, one who goes to the mikveh and didn't yet wait till the end of that day, let's say he didn't go to mikveh for 20 years, and then he goes to the mikveh in the middle of the day, has to wait till Seisa Kachavim to be tohar, to be allowed to eat truma. If he's a kohen, to be allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash, that's called the Tful Yom. Someone who went to mikveh today, didn't yet experience Harav Shemesh, is called the Tful Yom. So the Tzedukim had this hang-up, they had their chumrah, that a Tful Yom cannot be mazah paraduma water. So the Chachamim disagreed with them, and they said, the Pasuk says, V'hiza tohar ala tomei, tohar kol dehu, even if he's not completely tohar. How did they know Tohar called the Hu? So the Mefarshim say, because the word Tohar is spelled in the Chumash without a Vav, means it's incomplete Tahara. And there are Kahena Rabbas, there are several hundred rushes of the Tanoim on various Psukim and Tanakh all over the place that are based on Mole and Chosik, because we believe that not only Torah Min HaShemayim, that there was a divine revelation, every word and every letter of the Chumash was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu. So if you're missing a letter, you have an extra letter, there's a reason for it. The Rebbeinu Shlom told Moshe Rabbeinu to spell the word Molei Achaser to teach us a din. The Rambam quotes the Gemara that Kiddush HaChodesh and Nibra Hashana has to be done by a Bezdin located in Eretz Yisrael. If you have a Bezdin, if you have three people who got Smicha in Eretz Yisrael, they move to Chutz Lartz, they can establish a Bezdin. You can't confer Smicha. You cannot confer Smicha in Chutz Lartz. The one who's conferring the Smicha, one who's receiving the Smicha, have to both be in Eretz Yisrael. Once he got smicha in Eretz Yisrael, so he can go to Chutz Lartz and function as a bezin. But for the purpose of Kiddush HaChodesh and Nibra Hashana, the bezin has to be located in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam writes something very interesting in the Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvos HaSei Kuf Nun Gimel. He says the reason for this is there used to be a Ben Gurion figure. People must have heard of him. So he didn't believe in God. He didn't believe in Kedusha, so he didn't believe in Mitzvah. But he believed in the Jewish people. So he used to say, only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael are Jewish. Jews who live in Chutz Lartz are not Jewish. There's a Nitzas Emes to that. The Halacha says, we believe in Kedusha Yisrael. So the Jews all over the world have Kedusha, and they're mechuyev to observe Mitzvahs. Kedusha Yisrael mechayev Mitzvahs. But the Tziruf of Klal Yisrael is only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. The Jews who live in Chutz Lartz, the Gemara says, are considered ki yechidim. Even if you have millions of Jews, there are more Jews living in Chutz Lartz than living in Eretz Yisrael. If you have a million of Jews, you have 10 Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, that's called Klal Yisrael. And all the millions of Jews living in Chutz Lartz, the Gemara says, are considered Yechidim. So the Rambam So Ben Gurion got it from the Gemara. In his perception, there's only a concept of the Jewish nation. He didn't believe in Kedushas Yisrael. So he's right, the Jewish nation is only those who live in Eretz Yisrael. Those who live in Chutz Lartz are not part of the Tziruf of Klal Yisrael. So the Rambam writes something very fascinating in Mitzvah Seset Kuf Nun Gimel. Kiddush HaChodesh has to be done in Ibra Hashana. Kviyas HaLuach has to be done by the Bezin located in Eretz Yisrael, because the Bezin doesn't do it on their own. The Bezin declares Rosh Chodesh representing Klal Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael is only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. And then the Rambam, I don't know Arabic. The Sefer HaMitzvah was originally written in Arabic, so we rely on the Hebrew translations. So several Hebrew translations. So in the Hebrew translation they have that the Rambam writes, and if one could imagine, if one could visualize Chas v'Chalila, Chas v'Shalom, that there are no Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. There are Jews all over the world, millions and millions of Jews living all over Eretz Yisrael, but there are no Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, that it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu violated his promise to the Jewish people. He promised not only there'll be survivors, Klal Yisrael will survive. Klal Yisrael will survive, you have to have 10 Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam claims there were always Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban there, in his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, disagrees. He quotes a passage from the Gemara, one place, in Masechet Shabbos. He interprets the Gemara to say that there was a period of time, 53 years, in between the Bais Rishon and the Bais Sheni, where there are absolutely no Jews living in Eretz Yisrael at all. So this is very questionable. The Rambam thinks that it never happened. The Rambam thinks that if there are no Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, that means that God violated his promise that the Klal Yisrael would always exist. So the Rambam writes, who makes Kiddush HaChodesh, who makes it Rosh Chodesh today? He says, not the Rabbanim. We don't have any Rabbanim with Smicha. The Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. How many Jews were there? A handful of Jews, farmers. They weren't learned people. During the lifetime of the Rambam, there were no prominent Talmid HaChamim living in Eretz Yisrael. Says the 10, that's how the Chasam Sofer writes on the Rambam, the 10 farmers who live in Eretz Yisrael, that's Klal Yisrael. And all the Jews who live in Chutz Lartz, the Wirki Yechidim. So the 10 Jews in Eretz Yisrael who observe Rosh Chodesh, when it's supposed to be, they're the ones who are making into Rosh Chodesh today. The Rambam writes the same with respect to Smicha. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos on Masechet Bechoros on Daf Chav Tes, the Mishnah speaks about a Dayan who paskens a din who had Smicha. So the Rambam says Smicha, he quotes, the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos quotes the Gemara, Smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. And he says the reason why is because smicha is not a private affair. I happen to have smicha from my Rebbe. I don't, because nobody has any real bona fide smicha today. But one who has smicha from his Rebbe, so he wants to give smicha to his student. No, he says no. The one who's conferring smicha is representing all of Klal Yisrael. The smicha is conferred by Klal Yisrael. That's why it's supposed to be done in a public fashion. When the Lublin Rav, Rav Meir Shapiro, he established the Lublin Yeshiva with a dormitory, with a cafeteria. It was a big chiddush then in Europe. So when he gave smicha, so he made a chagas smicha. The yeshiva soon going to have a chagas smicha on Rabitzko Hanan's Yotzer Chof Alavoda in a couple of months. So Rameir Shapiro introduced that you have a chagas smicha, you can confer the smicha in public, and he got it from the Gemara. The Gemara says like that. They used to give smicha with a public demonstrative, a whole public ceremony. The reason for that is that the smicha is not a private thing that a person has smicha can confer it. He's giving smicha as representing all of Klal Yisrael. So that's the Rambam says that's the reason why smicha can only be given in Eretz Yisrael, because the concept of Klal Yisrael only applies to those who live in Eretz Yisrael. And when the Rambam explains this in his Pirush HaMishnayos, he quotes another din to demonstrate that this is correct. We have an institution of Par HaLamdovish Al Tzibur. It's good to know what it is, even without the rest of the talk. If a person does an Aver B'Shoigeg, so the Chumash says he has to bring a Korban Chatas. What Aver did he do B'Shoigeg? So what did he do? He cheated in business B'Shoigeg. He probably cheated the Mason. He probably didn't do a B'Shoigeg. But let's say if he cheated in business B'Shoigeg, so does he bring a Korban Chatas? No. So the din is the only being a Korban Chatas. He spoke Lashon Hara B'Shoigeg. Probably spoke the Mason. But let's say he spoke Lashon Hara B'Shoigeg. So the din is you only bring a Korban Chatas if you do an Aver B'Shoigeg, if the Avera is such, the nature of the Avera is such that if you would have done the Aver B'Mezid, you would have been Chayv Kares. The Mishnah lists off the beginning of Krisis, there are 36 Averas. Lamev of Krisis, Pamuras Bater, there are 36 Averas which the punishment is Kares. So whoever violates one of those 36 Averas B'Shoigeg has to bring a Korban Chatas for Kapor. So the Chumash has the following story. What if the chief rabbinate paskins that it's permissible to turn on lights on Shabbos? So the chief rabbi says, mutter is mutter. So everybody's turning on the lights. Then they realize they made a mistake, and they decide this is a biblical prohibition, and they announce no one is allowed to turn on lights on Shabbos. And it turns out that thousands and millions of people are mechal Shabbos, and it's the fault of the Bez Nagor. So the din is each and every person has to bring a korban chatos. Unless he reached the point that 51% of the tzibur, if a rov of the tzibur violated chilul Shabbos, a rov of the tzibur ate chametz bePesach, a rov of the tzibur ate chelav adam, did some averish zdono kares, if they would have violated the aver b'mezid, there would have been a punishment of kares. So if the rov of the tzibur violated aver b'shogeg because of the mistake of psak of the Bez Nagodol, rather than require each and every person to bring his own chatos, the Bez Nagodol brings one chatos, par halam dover shal tzibur, because they made a mistake, and everybody gets a kapur. So the Gemara says, b'hoiro, when you're calculating whether 51% of the community did the aveira or not, who's included in the tzibur? So the Gemara says, halacha harov yoshvei Eretz Yisrael. Only those who live in Eretz Yisrael count. Jews who live in Chutz Lortz are considered yechidim. They're not considered the tzibur. To establish roiv ha-tzibur, it only depends on the roiv of the people living in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rama quotes that pasuk. The Gemara proves that based on the pasuk in Sefer Melachim, that when Shlomo HaMelech built the first base on Migdosh, it says people showed up from all over Eretz Yisrael. Kohol Gadol, Milavo Chamos, Ad Nacha Mitzrayim. From the northernmost point in Eretz Yisrael to the southernmost point in Eretz Yisrael, the people showed up. So the Gemara says, you see from that pasuk in Sefer Melachim, Kohol Gadol, Kohol only applies to those who live in Eretz Yisrael. Those who live in Chutz Lortz are considered Yechidim. So when you go to visit Eretz Yisrael, try to be there for Rosh Chodesh, or for Rosh Chodesh benches. So you'll be part of the tzibur who is making it into Rosh Chodesh, if you have a choice to decide when you want to be there. So the Rambam has, there are certain, we know the agricultural mitzvahs only apply biblically in Eretz Yisrael, because that's the only agriculture that's of significance. But you have some mitzvahs that are not agricultural mitzvahs. To confer smicha, you don't give smicha to the farmers. Or egla rufa, if you find someone was murdered in Eretz Yisrael, no da mihiko, say measure to the cities that are nearest, closest to the dead body, and the city that's closest has to bring an egla rufa. So that then only applies in Eretz Yisrael. And the reason why is also because the egla rufa is not a chayvus hayochid, it's a chayvus hatzibur, and the concept of tzibur applies only in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what the Rambam says, that the kviyas haluach, the establishing of the Jewish calendar, has to be done in Eretz Yisrael by the Bezin. The Bezin has to have smicha from Eretz Yisrael. But any other din Torah, you can have a Bezin of smuchim who move to Chutz Lortz and they can function as a Bezin. But the kviyas haluach has to be done in Eretz Yisrael because they're supposed to do it representing all of Klal Yisrael. In the Chumash, there are three parshios where the Torah talks about the moadim. You have parshas Emor, and Parshas Pinchas, and Parshas Re'eh. And Parshas Amor, the Chumash lists up all the Yamim Tovim, and it gives you the Issa Malacha. You're not allowed to do Malacha on all of these Yamim Tovim. In Parshas Pinchas, the Chumash tells you which Musafim have to be brought. And in Parshas Re'eh, the Chumash tells you which other mitzvahs have to be observed. In Pesach, you have to eat Matzah, Morer, Korban Pesach. Sukkot, you have to sit in the Sukkah, and so on. The various mitzvahs protios. Rosh Chodesh, on all of those days when we bring Musafim, so we today are unable to bring Musafim. So the Navi tells us, Unishalma Forim Sifaseinu. We should do Tashlum and we should pay up. We have an obligation to bring Karbanas on Musafim. We don't have the ability to. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. We have an obligation to bring Tamidim every day. Tamash HaShachat, Tamash HaBenah. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. We can't do it. So the Navi says, we should pay our obligation of bringing Karbanas by Sifaseinu with our lips. We should recite the Parshas HaKorbanos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ma'ale ane aleim kilu hikrivim. I will consider it as if they brought the Korbanos if they'll say the Pesukim. So that's why we daven Musaf. On Shabbos and Yontif and Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, we daven Musaf. And even on a regular weekday, we don't daven Musaf, but we're supposed to recite the Parshas HaTmidim. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Maharil, who assumes that women have to recite the Parshas HaKorbanos as well. Maril is just misupik where the women have to recite Ezel Mekoyman also. The men don't say Ezel Mekoyman. The men don't say the Parshas HaKorbanos. So Maril assumes for sure the women are obligated to recite the parsha is HaKorbanos on a regular day, and on Shabbos Yom Tov Rosh Chodesh. But the only stuff he has is that also included in the Shalma Farm Sosena that they have to recite Oilu Kodesh Kodoshim and Achatus, what, how you makar Achatus, is that part of the Shalma Farm Sosena or not? When you have Rosh Chodesh Shecholiyas B'Shabbos, so everybody knows you say Ate Yatzarta, you say on the bottom of the line. When you say Musaf, usually you say Tikanto Shabbos, and you say Ate Yatzarta. The Or HaShulchan points out that he thinks that there's a mistake in the concluding paragraph. Last Shabbos was Rosh Chodesh, so we said Ate Yatzarta at the bottom of the line. So the Or HaShulchan, they say the Rav Soloveitchik agreed, he thought the same way, that normally on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we mention in the concluding paragraph in the middle of Bracha, of the Shemona Esrei, Kadshenim mitzvah secha, b'sein chakenim b'sor secha, z'abeinim b'teyocha, b'sein chenim b'shor secha, v'tayar l'bein v'yol b'techa b'yemes. We say that on a regular Shabbos, and when you have Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, all of that is missing in the regular Sidurim, Ashkenaz and Svart. So the Aruch HaShulchan points out, but in the Sidurim of the Eidot HaMizrach, the real Svardim, the Moroccans and so on, so they do have it. So he thinks that it's Pashat a misprint. It's missing from we have Elokeinu Kamaseinu Tzevim Nechaseinu, V'charish Aleinu Be'am HaShem Seseh, V'charish Aseh L'Tev V'Levrocha, and we're missing the other lines, Kadshen Mitzvah Secha, Psecha Kena Mitzvah Secha, etc. So the Aruch HaShulchan thinks that we should really add that on, like a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov. Is there a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Chodesh? So the psukim say v'samachta b'hagecha in Parshas Re'eh. It says it's a mitzvah of simcha on Shalosh Regalim. Then there's a question, is there a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So the Mefarshim point out it's a machlokes hatanoim and a mishnah in Moed Kot, and we paskin yes. That's why if one Rachmana Litzlan is in the middle of Shiva and it comes Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Pesach Shavuot Sukkah, so it cancels Shiva, or one is in the middle of Shosh, and he cancels Avelos, because the mitzvah of Simcha and the mitzvah of Avelos are contradictory. So the Simcha is all of Klal Yisrael, that's a Esei de Rabim. And Avelos is this one individual person is observing Avelos, so the Tzibur takes over, and the mitzvah, the Esei of Simcha's Yontif, that's Mutal on the whole Tzibur, takes over, and the Yochid terminates, and Shiva terminates the Shlosh. So the question is there a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh doesn't cancel Avelos. Is there any element of mitzvah simcha on Rosh Chodesh? So the Tur quotes in the name of the Gaonim that there is. The Pasuk in Chumash says in Parshas, I think, Bahalo Yischa, Oviyom simchascha mevumayodecha merosh yachatshecha miskaitam achatzoitzus alo lasech malziv cheshamecha miniskaitam lefnei alakecha. And it says in the Pasuk, Rosh yachatshecha next to Oviyom simchascha mevumayodecha. And the whole idea of Tkiyas Chatzetzvus is to express Simcha. So you see that there is an inyan of Simcha on Rosh Chodesh. It's not the same type of Simcha that you have on Shalvash Regalim and on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Rosh Chodesh doesn't cancel Avelos. And on Shalvash Regalim there's a mitzvah to have Basa B'yayin, there's a mitzvah to have a party. On Rosh Chodesh there's no mitzvah to have a Sudas Rosh Chodesh. There is such a minik to have a Sudas Rosh Chodesh, but it's not really obligatory. But it's in a certain sense, it's a mitzvah of simcha b'shevi altasa. We assume that there's a biblical prohibition to have hesped metainas on Rosh Chodesh. It's not simcha b'kumbi, I say you have to do something to demonstrate that you're being misameach, but you're not allowed to do something that will be contradictory to the simcha. So we assume it's a biblical prohibition. You're not allowed to fast on Rosh Chodesh, and you're not allowed to deliver a hesped. One of the Gedolim in Europe came up with an Einfall. He was a big genius, but geniuses don't always come to the correct conclusions. So this Adam Gadol came to Chiddush that the relatives of the one who died are in a state of aninus until the burial. And one is in a state of aninus, he's not allowed to do averus, he's not allowed to eat chazah, he's not allowed to wear shatah, he's not allowed to talk lashon hara, but he's not allowed to do any mitzvahs until after the kvura. So he's not allowed to observe the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, not allowed to observe the mitzvah of Simchas Rosh Chodesh. So the children of the Nifter are permitted to deliver a eulogy on Rosh Chodesh, or on Rosh Chodesh, or on Purim, or on Chanukah. His opinion has not been accepted because, fine, the children can deliver a eulogy, but the audience can't listen to it. Because they have a Chiyuv Simcha. So what, are they going to talk without a mic? No one's going to hear what they're saying. So that's why his opinion has not been accepted. That was one of the Gedolim. He always had original ideas against the Shulchan Aruch, and all of his original ideas were never accepted. He was the famous Rosh Yeshiva in Europe. The Gemara has a din that if a person forgot to say Ritzei, a Yalav Yov, and a Birchas HaMazon, and he realizes he chaps himself before he starts, he says, Bari Barachma B'Yishalayim Amen, and he didn't start the last bracha, HaTov HaMeitiv yet, so there's a special nusach that's printed in the Birchas HaMazon, what you say if you forgot Ritzei, a Yalav Yov. So if it's a Yontif, so you say, we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He gave us the Yontif. There is a mitzvah of Simcha, but it's not the same, not to the same degree of the Chi of Simcha on Sholosh Regalim. So that's why the Gemara is not sure whether you mention Simcha when you forgot Yalav Yov and Birchas HaMazon, whether you have to mention Simcha or not. What if a person ate a meal on Rosh Chodesh and he recited Birchas HaMazon and he forgot Yalav Yov, period, he forgot. He didn't even remember before he starts HaTov HaMeitiv. So the Gemara says you don't have to repeat over the Birchas HaMazon because you weren't obligated in the first place to have a meal. You're not allowed to fast on Rosh Chodesh, but you can have a cup of coffee. You wouldn't have, you say Bar Nefashis after that. You won't mention the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh. When you're on Shabbos and Yom, when you're obligated to have bread, and you have to be kaver the Suda, the same Suda Shabbos, the same Suda Siyontif. So if you forget, we'd say, if you get Yalav Yov, then you have to bench over again. Not that you weren't Yotzei benching, you Yotzei the benching, you weren't Yotzei the Suda Shabbos, you're not Yotzei Suda Siyontif. Rav Rosh Chodesh is no Chiyav Suda, so one would not have to daven over again. There was a big dispute in the days of the Bali HaTosfos. Rabbeinu Tam was Rashi's grandson. His name was Rabbeinu Yaakov. And the Chumash Rabbeinu Yaakov Rabbeinu was called Ish Tam. So the Rabbeinu Yaakov is known as Rabbeinu Tam. That's how all of his friends called him, Rabbeinu Tam. So he had a nephew who was Diri HaZokain. Tosfos always quotes Rabbeinu Yitzchok, Diri HaZokain. He had a son who was Rabbeinu Ochanan. He was killed by the Christians. Rabbeinu Ochanan is known as a Kodesh. So the Ri and the Rabbeinu Ochanan had the following machloikas. Very fascinating. In Birchas HaMazon, if a person forgot to say Yalav Yov and Birchas HaMazon and reminds himself after Bani Barachma B'Yushalayim Amen before he starts the next bracha, so it's printed in the Siddur, a text from the Gemara, what bracha you say for Shabbos and Yontif and for Rosh Chodesh. Because you reminded yourself after the conclusion of the bracha, Bainu Rachma Yerushalayim Amen, you should have said it in the middle of Rachim Noah, we'd say Yalav Yalav. You forgot, and you didn't start the next bracha yet. So what if a person forgot to say, Am Rosh Chodesh, forgot to say Yalav Yalav in the Shemana Esrei? So the Gemara says, by Ma'ariv, if one forgot Yalav Yalav, by Ma'ariv Am Rosh Chodesh, you don't have to daven over again, because Emekachan is HaChodesh Balayla. The Bezdin would never convene the night of Rosh Chodesh to declare it as Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, you don't have to daven over again if you forgot Yalav Yalav b'mayr. How does that apply? Bizman said there's no bezin convening at all. So that's a long explanation for some other occasion. Rabbi Soloveitchik once dedicated a whole Yahrzeit Rosh to that topic. How come that still applies? Bizman said. But if one forgot Yalav Yalav in Shachris or Mincha on Rosh Chodesh, then the din requires you have to daven over. So what if a person sang Shmona Esrei Shachris or Mincha on Rosh Chodesh, or Ma'ariv as well? And he's supposed to recite Yalav Yalav in the middle of Ritzei Bam Chesol of his Filosom, before Vesech Zen and then B'Shuv Chalatziyam Berachmim, and he forgot to say Yalav Yalav, and he completed the Bracha Amach Zeshchinos of the Tzim, but he didn't stop Modim yet. So should I say that it's parallel to Birchas HaMazon? Just like in Benjamin, if you remember after you completed the Bracha before you start the next Bracha, so you say a special nusach, Baruch Shanasim Yom Tov Yisrael, Sosan of the Simcha. So should you say, here they never composed a special bracha, maybe you should say Yalav Yalav there. So that was machlokes between the father and the son. The son, Rabbeinu Ochanan, the one who was killed by Kiddush Hashem later, was killed young. So the son was of the opinion that davening is the same as Birchas HaMazon, that if one forgot Yalav Yalav and he reminds himself before it starts Moedim, he say Yalav Yalav there. The father disagreed. And he said, you can't say Yalav Yalav in between Sechazana and Einu and Moedim. It's a hefsik in the middle of the Shemana Esrei. By the benching, it's not a hefsik because when you finish Bainu Merachma B'Yushalayim Amen, why do you say Amen? We never say Amen after Aron Bracha. So the Gemara says, that's the conclusion of the Birchas HaMazon in HaTorah. And the last Bracha, Tayla Meitiv, is a Midirabbanon. And it's not the midrabbanan that's part of the benching. It's a bracha that you add after the benching is all over. It's a separate bracha, atay v'meitiv. So there's no issue of hepsik over there. You finish benching and out in the middle. But in the Shemana Esrei, you're still in the middle of the Shemana Esrei. You can't say Yalav Yav in between Ritzei and Moedim if you forgot to say before Sehazen Neinenu. So they had this ongoing debate between the father and the son. So one of the Svarim, the Orzarua, written in the days of the Bali HaTosfos, he writes, the Ri and the Rabbeinu Tam, the uncle with the nephew, were once davening in Paris in Shul. And the Rabbeinu Tam forgot Yalav Yav. The Ri was standing next to him, and he overheard the way his uncle, the Rabbeinu Tam, who was the big Paisek, forgot Yalav Yavoi, and after he said Hamach Shchinos Letzin, he said Yalav Yavoi before Moedim, like the Ri's son thought. So from that time on, the Ri followed his son's psak because he saw that his uncle holds like that. So that's what's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that if one forgot to say Yalav Yavoi in the Shemana Esrei, and he remembers before he starts Moedim, he should say Yalav Yavoi at that point. The Gemara speaks about an idea that Rosh Chodesh is a yontif for women. What do you mean? That the women don't do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. They shouldn't do the laundry, they shouldn't do any malacha kveda. It does mean they're not allowed to turn on the lights. You shouldn't do malacha kveda. What happens to Rosh Chodesh is a yontif for women? So the Balei HaTosfos and the commentary on Chumash explain that the Mishkan was dedicated on Rosh Chodesh Nissan. The Meshivas Me'amiluim, the last 7 days in the month of Adar, it was celebrating, and the Shmini Le'miluim was Rosh Chodesh Nissan. And that's when all the karbanas were done normally. So the women, it says in the Chumash, the women also donated towards the building of the Mishkan. When they were interested, when the Jewish people had an Ein Father, they're going to make an Egel, so the women did not participate. The men were just interested in a tax deduction. So you ask them to donate for the church, you ask for a donation, they make out a check, they give you a donation. The women had sechel to know, to discern, this is a worthy cause, we're going to give for the Mishkan, and we're not going to give for the Egel. So that's why the women celebrate every Rosh Chodesh as a yontif. It's a yontif, they know how to give their charity in a proper fashion. Okay, I left out, maybe I'll speak just briefly. It's so many years we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and we have no ability to fulfill a mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel, supposed to visit the Beis HaMikdash on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos. So the Yalkut Shemoni is a medrash on Tanakh. Yalkut Shemoni has a comment on the pasuk in the end of Sefer Yeshaya. V'hayom yidei chodesh b'chodesh yidei shabbos b'shamata yavo kol bosa v'shtachlos lefonai niyum Hashem. When you have Rosh Chodesh l'chodiyas b'shabbos, last Shabbos, was Rosh Chodesh, they say the Haftar Hashemayim Kisi, and it concludes with that, that's one of the last psukim in the Novi Yishai. What does it mean? So the Alkut Shemoni says, the Rebbeinu Shalom tells the Jewish people, Kindalach, you feel bad that so many years you weren't able to fulfill the mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel. I'll tell you what, when we're going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, you'll be able to Aliyah LeRegel every Rosh Chodesh. Oyami Chodesh B'chodesho, every Rosh Chodesh. Midei Shabbos B'Shabbatot doesn't mean Shabbos, it means Sholosh Regalim. Like it says in the Chumash, you start counting spheres, maybe Machas HaShabbos. Doesn't mean on Sunday. It means a Chalamoid Pesach, the day after Yontif. So the Osir Lovet says, we will have the opportunity to be Oyla Regal every Rosh Chodesh in each one of the Sholosh Regalim. So that's what the Medrash has a comment. If we feel bad that we didn't have the opportunity for so many centuries to fulfill the mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel, Lasi Lava, when the third Beis HaMikdash will be built, will be able to fulfill the mitzvah on all the Rosh Chodesh. Thank you very much.